Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahe, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Media Wave 1548, DSTV 826, and simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. So our topic today is something very, very interesting, very, very empowering, and something that will appeal to everybody, young and old. The emphasis is on young because we obviously all want to grow up healthy. Now, everybody goes on about eating healthy, having the perfect body, eating the right foods, do not eat this, do not eat that, limit carbs, increase the fat intake, going on keto diets, going on this diet. And what we fail to realize is that there are so many things that we do not acknowledge when we remove certain foods from our diets, and then we do get ill a little bit later. Obviously, you know, eating health is very important, having a good body in the sense that you are healthy, free from illness, a positive mind, also gives you the strength, inshallah, to concentrate at school, to concentrate at work, and also to make time for your ibadah, you know, the strength to make time for your ibadah and connect with your creator. And very often when it comes to eating healthy, there are so many questions. Is this good for me? Is this organic? The questions are just too many. And the remarkable thing is that there were so many foods available, which are natural, that we don't realize have so much of benefits and were encouraged to be eaten by our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Medical science is only finding out today through recent studies that if you eat so-and-so foods, this is what will happen, or these are the benefits. And the interesting thing is that this is what our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us so many years ago. So our topic for today is sunnah foods and living healthy the sunnah way. And I'm very, very honored to have my guest in studio with me today. Oh, sorry, it's via Skype today. It's Radio Islam International's very own Apa Zakira Ansar Mia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apa Zakira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You should have told him before that, Sister Bibi Aisha, how you headhunted me and tagged me and made me come onto the program.
I am going to get into that. I mean, I think my listeners will remember from last year. I remember I had you as a guest briefly for one of my shows on a Sunday, and I told you, when are we going on air? So my listeners will vouch for me when they say that they heard you agree. So, Jazakumallahu khairan for finally, should I say becoming submissive and accepting? Because you know with me, you can't say no.
Well, that's just on a lighter note. The listeners probably know by now that, alhamdulillah, Sister Bibi Aisha is one of our dynamic presenters, and actually being with her kind of put me in the shade. So I was just wondering, how do I say, I don't want to be made a fool of on air. Sister Bibi Aisha, please don't let me come on with you.
No, Appa, you know what, you have this so much that I learned from you on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, and the knowledge that you have, I want to share with my beloved listeners, because I know, you know, as much as I've grown from knowing you and from learning from you, I know my listeners will benefit as well. And what better topic than to discuss the eating habits, the lifestyle, the healthy lifestyle, and the sunnah foods. You know, our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfect role model, and you know, who better to explain all of this to us than you, who is my mentor. So jazakumallahu khairan for coming onto the show, and please, if you can tell us, you know, this, when it comes to, again, eating healthy, healthy lifestyles, what do we eat, what do we omit, what is good for children? You know, we're getting, you know, doctors complaining children are too hyper, teachers are complaining, is this child ADHD, does this child have this problem, limit the sugar intake. Where are we going wrong with all of this? What is going on here?
Firstly, I must say to the listeners out there, those very kind words from Sister Bibi Aisha are a little bit overly kind, but nevertheless, I will try to fill those big shoes, inshallah. So for today, inshallah, what we're going to be discussing is sunnah foods, the sunnah way to live, and why we choose this way to live, because after all, this is what we've been asked to, this is a lifestyle we've been asked to adopt, right?
Yes.
But before we actually go down that path, I must admit, and you know, that I'm not one of those that's very good at keeping up with this myself, you know, in terms of eating healthy. And often they say to have effect on others, you need to start doing whatever you're speaking about yourself.
Yes.
So
yes.
In order for me to be true to my word, I must say that for the past few weeks now, alhamdulillah, say from the beginning of the year, I've kind of told myself that, okay, enough junk, and we're going to start living a little bit of a healthier lifestyle. And also, I suppose, Sister Aisha, you probably feel it yourself as well.
Yes.
You know, as you get older, what tends to happen is that your body starts speaking to you.
Yes.
And the more we eat foods that are not good for us, foods that are rich in all the wrong types of things, the more we start feeling these effects on our body, and the more it slows us down. It slows our mental processes, it slows our physical capability, and we start wondering, what's going on?
No, most definitely.
At this point, precisely, that we start saying things like, oh, I think I need to see the doctor. Maybe I need to add a few more vitamins to my diet. Maybe I'm not getting whatever I need out of my meals. What we don't realize, though, is that no doctor can help you change your bad diet. No matter what advice they give you, if you're not willing to do it for yourself, no one can do it for you.
No, absolutely. And also what the concern is that, you know, we don't want to be raising a generation of pill poppers. You know, I got a headache, I got a stomachache, I'm feeling nauseous, I'm feeling tired. Okay, here's a tablet for that, here's a vitamin for that, here's a this for that, here's a that for that. There's supplements everywhere. Why are we going that route when all of the nourishment and all of the goodness are in foods that are natural?
Very, very true. Very true, subhanAllah. And so actually to give us a bit of an insight on why we need to eat healthily, I'm going to just tell you a little bit of how a Muslim is meant to look at their body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this body that me and you have been given, actually, it's not something that we have control over and we can do with it as we like. This body that me and you have been given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually an amana.
Yes.
It's actually a trust. So when you're given something in trust, we both know that when something is given to you in trust, what happens? Automatically you need to safeguard it with your life. You need to do whatever is within your capability to ensure that you get the best out. So subhanAllah, if this body has been given to us as an amana, how are we doing whatever we can in terms of doing the best? What are we doing to make sure that we get the best out of this body?
Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to fulfill. It's, like you say, it's a trust that has been given to us, and how are we protecting our body and looking after it to ensure that Allah will be pleased with us, that we have a healthy mind, body and soul, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And then also, you know, when we're talking about sunnah foods, you know, it's nothing different from a lot of the food that we already have in our homes. A lot of the food that we already are able to get, it's nothing that's overly priced and very difficult to get a hold of. It's simple things that you and I already know about, we already have been consuming, but we don't realize the benefits of these amazing foods. And the amazing thing as well is that when you are consuming it, if you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Ya Allah, this is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallam, I'm consuming this food because this is what Nabi Muhammad Sallam encouraged us to do, there's free sawab for you as well.
Very true. On that note, Sister Bibi Aisha, I think I'd like to digress a little bit from
you. Sure, sure.
Not necessary digression, but perhaps bring the listeners to an understanding of why we've chosen to speak sunnah food, sunnah in general, living a healthy lifestyle.
Sure, sure.
My dear listeners, if we were to just paint a picture of what it was like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would see, and just now, a few minutes ago, alhamdulillah, I was actually teaching my class a tafsir lesson, and we were doing Surah Dhuha, and it came to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. You know, and we found you as someone wanting, we found you as someone needy, فَأَغْنَى. So we enriched you, we gave you, we made you self-sufficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we need to take a moment and just think about what was it like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were poor. they really led a life of poverty for many years. For them to have a meal in their home on a daily basis was an absolute luxury. Whereas, Allah forbid, in our homes, there's 2-3 meals prepared for every meal time because we feel the need to satisfy every family member's wishes and desires.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see that it was such a time where Aisha radiallahu anha says, you know, 2-3 moons would pass. What she meant was that 2-3 months would go past and no fire would be lit in the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was because she was trying to explain that no meal was actually prepared because they didn't have flour to make the actual bread that was made at that time. They didn't have meat to prepare a meal of meat and gravy that was often prepared in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't have these things. So therefore, they could not prepare meals, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said that all we would have is aswadan. We would have water and we would have dates. Dry dates or fresh dates, but this is all we would subsist on. Now subhanAllah, if we were just to imagine how this would change our lifestyle, so, you know, I can't even start to explain to you, you know, what I was thinking personally if I were to adopt this kind of life and for the entire only have dates and water.
It is so
dates
true.
Are exceptional. You know, the amount of vitamins and the amount of various benefits that they have in them, the sugar content and the all these things are in perfect balance in dates. And therefore, if we only had to have this, we would really be able to subsist on this alone.
Yes,
because
yes.
Final part, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they did subsist on it alone. But what I'm saying is that, would we not miss the variety of the foods that we have? For sure, we definitely would. So, my dear listeners, when we speak about sunnah foods, let's change our perspective. There was no curry khichdi in that time. There was no dal and rice. There was none of these things that we have nowadays, right?
Yes.
So when we think of the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the meals of the Prophet ﷺ, let's think of those things, like we would say in today's time, modern technology, the organic things.
Yes.
Because sometimes that's all they had. Whatever they planted is what they had.
You know, just a point now, you know, we're talking obviously about the benefits of dates and how Nabi Muhammad ﷺ and his loved ones and the Sahaba, you know, would have their meals as dates and water. And during Ramadan, you know, the practice of having just dates and water, maybe even for Sehri and obviously just for Iftar. And how many of us actually do that? We break our fast with the dates and the water, but then the feast that is sitting there in front. And you wonder, you know, I mean, how is this benefiting you? And then later when it comes to performing Taraweeh and waking up for Sehri, my back is sore, my neck is sore, my legs are sore, because we've overeaten and we've filled our bellies with foods that are clearly not very healthy for us. Makes you think.
I think that's where it really, really does make us feel so special when we go to the Haramain during the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that they've definitely kept alive is the sunnah. You will see that they do not allow any real meal types of food allowed into the actual haram other than the dates and the zamzam water. Besides that, no other meals are allowed into the haram. Yes, outside you will find people obviously buying their meals and sitting down, families sitting down and sharing their meals and stuff like that. But because some of us, alhamdulillah, who have been for Ramadan will know, because you want a space there for Taraweeh, what generally happens is that you go in and you sit from after you break your fast, you make whatever nafl, you eat a little bit, obviously, the dates and the zamzam, and sometimes they would give you the dukkha and the yogurt and the bread, right? And some cucumbers, if you're lucky, you'd get those on the dasturkhans that are laid out. And this also, subhanAllah, was a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that because the dates have a hot effect on our system, he had it with something cold. Yogurt, cucumbers, all these things have a cooling effect on the system. So this is why it was eaten together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because as I was saying, you want this place in the haram so badly, you don't go out. You just sit there and you make do with whatever. And just the other day, one of my husband's aunts, you know, we were having a chat and we were speaking about Ramadan coming up in just 3 months. And she was saying, do you remember that Ramadan in the haram? Oh, it was so beautiful. And we were speaking about how, you know, savory preparations will start now. And so all the sisters are already thinking about that. At just 3 months left, oh, we need to start stocking up the freezers.
Yes.
We go to the Haramain, we don't have any of that. So the question is, if we manage then, is it not possible to manage like that even when we are in South Africa?
Of course. And you've been fortunate, mashallah, you've managed to spend, you know, your Ramadan making Umrah. I mean, I haven't had that opportunity as yet. But you managed. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. But like I said, you managed. I mean, you survived. You had that minimal food. It was, you know, you think minimal, but when you, you know, consumed it, obviously there's blessings from Allah. There's barakat in the food. You are fine. You are nourished. You weren't hungry. You had the ability to make your ibadat. And you are fine. You survived. Subhanallah. So that's like you say, the comparison that you're making is so great, because we wonder, you know you may be having a bad day when you're fasting, you're thinking, okay, never mind, a few more hours, when I go home, there's this feast awaiting me.
Yes.
And you don't realize that you're doing so much of harm to your body by consuming all that fatty, oily foods.
And subhanAllah, you know, you actually bring up a very interesting point there, Sister Bibi Aisha, by saying that we are able to make our ibadah better.
Yes.
In terms of physical fitness and keeping our bodies fit, this is something so important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith has mentioned that a strong believer is better than a weak believer. So if Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us something like this, and Islam places such great emphasis on us keeping fit, why would we want to obesify our body, if I could put it that way? Why would we want to eat in such a way that your body is crying out? Your body is saying, you know what, I really can't deal with all of this.
Yes, yes. If you remember, you know, we were speaking, was it this week or last week? And in fact, I think, you know, we mentioned that the hadith, it was, I think, was it one of the hadiths, one of the sayings about a man that, you know, the comment was made about his broad belly.
Yes.
Appa, could you please share that with our beloved listeners?
Yes. So a man was in the company of Umar radiallahu anhu, actually. And Umar radiallahu anhu, for those who, alhamdulillah, studied a bit of seerah would know, he was known to be someone with a very fiery temper, right? So he was walking around the streets of Medina and he had with him his whip. And this was something common, a common practice of Umar radiallahu anhu. Not that he used his whip on anyone per se, you know, just like that out of no specific reason. But this was just the way he walked around in the street. So he came across a man with a really large protruding belly. And when this man came into the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, with the tip of the whip, pointed towards his belly and said, "What is this?" And he said, rubbing his belly, you know, and I was picturing it in my mind, almost like a cat would purr, you know, and he said, "Hada ni'matum min Allah." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "No. Hada adabum min Allah. This can never be a ni'mah from Allah. How can you say this protruding belly is a ni'mah from Allah? This is a punishment from Allah." Right? Mm-hmm. What Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, maybe what the man meant is that because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having given him food, now he had this nice big belly. But what Umar radiallahu anhu was trying to tell him is that because of you overindulging in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, now you've actually taken something that could be used as a ni'mah and turned it into a adab.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanallah, if we had to look at this, isn't this what some of us are doing as well? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the means to go ahead and buy whatever food we want at our disposal, and no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that they are food, they are halal, and tayyibah, kulu minha, you know, eat from it, enjoy it, and you know, hani'an mari'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses all these types of words in the Quran, you know, when he describes good, halal, tayyib food.
Mm-hmm.
But when we speak about enjoying it, overindulgence is never ever something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has ever
mentioned,
you know, alluded to.
Yes.
And if we look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, into the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, we will automatically realize that overindulging is definitely not what is meant for a woman.
No, definitely, definitely. But we can touch on about, you know, one more, you know, of foods that were enjoyed by our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi before we go on to go into an ad break. I know we spoke about dates. Alhamdulillah, I know there's also, you know, a saying where it's narrated that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi would say, a house without dates has no food. So that obviously shows the importance of dates and the benefits that dates have for our bodies, for our mind, and obviously again, you know, the sawab that you have by consuming dates.
Yes, yes, definitely. A similar thing was also narrated with regards vinegar, right?
Yes.
Vinegar.
Yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact, once dipping his bread into a little bit of vinegar, said, "Ni'mal admul khul." Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the best type of gravies, khal, khul, these are all different variations of this hadith, because the word for vinegar can be used in various ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a fatha or a kasra. And these are just for different different hadith discussions. But nevertheless, the point of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dipping a piece of bread into this vinegar. Now, me and you, if we picture this, we don't ever normally do this. I don't know of anyone that uses vinegar as a type of gravy.
Mm.
But Prophet ﷺ was saying, what a lovely gravy vinegar makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we see, what do we think about when we think about gravy? And being Indian per se, what do we think about?
Tarkari. Tarkari.
Tarkari. Some nice onions, bread,
yes.
Tomato, masala,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And nowadays with a bit more modern cooking, a little bit of fresh cream in there, a little
yes.
bit of coconut milk in there, a little bit of yogurt in there, nice double cream Bulgarian yogurt, right? These are the types of things we think about.
Which is so true. We're thinking indulgence.
Yes. You know, they're probably having a giggle about this. But the truth is that our eating habits couldn't be more further away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eating habits. Because imagine something as simple as this. He was dipping his bread, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dipping his bread in vinegar and saying, what lovely gravy this is. Showing simplicity.
And the other thing is,
otherwise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have enjoyed, as mentioned to us in various ahadiths, one hadith specifically says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a liking towards yuhibbul halwa'a wal asala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked sweet food and he liked honey a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Once the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought him a little bit of honey, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very relishly ate of this honey and he thoroughly enjoyed it. Other foods are olives. They also mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate something called a sarid. This sarid was pieces, big pieces of meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were cooked, and this wasn't something that was a common practice. You will note that this was something very rarely. It was almost like a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
Big chunks of meat that were cooked up, and then the bread was baked and broken up and soaked in this gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how. And the gravy also there that we're speaking about is again not a tomato onion gravy.
Yes.
It's a type of juices that the meat releases, and then this bread was then soaked into this gravy. And sarid was one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's favorite meals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there's also a few others, but these were among the most common that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are we going to continue with our discussion? We're going to stop for an ad break, and inshallah, when we continue, we're going to talk a bit more about the sunnah foods, some of the sunnah foods, inshallah, and the benefits of leading a sunnah lifestyle, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're back with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my guest, Apa Zakira Ansarmia from Radio Islam International, and we're talking about sunnah foods and leading a healthy lifestyle. The sunnah way. So just before the break, we spoke a lot about the sunnah foods and the benefits of eating healthy foods. And, you know, often as parents, you know, you wonder, am I nourishing my child properly? When it comes to snacks, you know, when children are writing exams, they're obviously very peckish and they want to be nibbling on a whole lot of things. Sometimes you need lunchbox ideas. Common foods that we always have, but we forget that there's so much of benefits from there. And also, you know, these are foods that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, you know, used to enjoy eating. So, you know, we have dates, we have figs. Figs are also a fruit that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that figs are fruit from paradise. What about grapes? You know, grapes purify the blood, they strengthen the kidneys. Obviously, honey, lots and lots of shifa. Many ailments are cured by the use of honey. What about melon? Pomegranates, you know, people constantly refer to pomegranates as red rubies. So, you know, incorporating them into your salads, incorporating them into your meals. I mean, what a delightful way of getting all these beautiful tastes and flavors and also enjoying the benefits from there. As children grow up, and I know there's many naughty adults, when it comes to drinking water and drinking milk, there's always these excuses. No, I hate drinking water and I'm lazy to drink water. We can't stress enough the benefits of drinking water. Also a firm favorite of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but obviously encouraged to be, you know, water must be not gulped down, have small sips, and obviously while sitting down. Also, the numerous benefits of consuming milk. You know, as children grow older, they do not want to drink milk. They want to, you know, combine a whole lot of other flavors into the milk because they find the taste of milk boring. But yet they don't realize that it's so important. You know, calcium, very important for strong bones and teeth. And again, also a firm favorite of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Am I correct, Afa Zakira?
Yes, mashallah, I think you've encapsulated very nicely the reason as well as the foods. Yes, the foods are very important. In fact, subhanallah, these ones have an added benefit because eating them will not only gain you the reward of taking care of your body, but you'll also be gaining the reward of a sunnah, right?
Yes.
And this was something that my dear dad also always mentioned to us. If we were eating something that was something from among the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked, like melon, etc., he would always remind us of this. This is the thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked, so make niyyah for sunnah and have it and you'll get more reward. So as parents, this is something we should also be encouraging our kids, right?
Yes.
And sometimes you may find that they don't even like something, but because we make it sound so interesting to them, and the parents of small ones would know this, right? The kids don't grow up just knowing what they like and what they don't like. You often find that if a parent likes something, the child likes
yes.
it. Ask an infant whose parent likes Coke and see if that infant doesn't like Coke. Yes, they will, right? It was just an example that popped out of my head. No, you know, I'm not guns out here for the guys that like Coke or the ladies that do. But what I'm saying is that you will find this is how it works. If a parent likes something, the child automatically likes it because this is how we make it sound. We make it sound interesting. We make it sound so nice.
Yes.
So when it comes to good eating, things that are meant to be eaten, good eating habits, good foods that should be eaten, let's also make these sound interesting for the kids, inshallah.
No, definitely.
But it will also get into a habit of it.
Most definitely. Like we say, you know, parents are the greatest role models for their children. Now, we spoke about eating healthy. Now, let's move on to keeping fit and healthy. And if we can discuss some of the sports that our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very passionate about.
Mm.
If you can share.
So, we're going to be discussing sport. I think we actually started this off by saying that a strong believer is much better than a weak believer.
Yes.
And so, by saying this, we already put in a word there, a good word for keeping healthy and keeping fit. Now, why is it so important for our youth in particular? Why did we choose this topic for youth talk? The reason we chose this topic is because a lot of our youth today, without generalizing, but it is a fact, they are spectator sportsmen or they are those that will just sit on the couch and be entertained by a tab or by a phone or by their PSP or by their Xbox. These are the types of things that they are now entertained in. Gone are the days where kids did what me and you did, Sister Bibi Aisha, where we came home, quickly completed the homework upside down, no matter how it was done. Why? We did that because our friends were waiting for us outside in the neighborhood. You take your bike and you've gone out, or you take your skateboard and you've gone out, or never mind, even if you didn't have any of that, you just went out there yourself, because even if you played with the stones, even if you played with the sticks, we found games, we made up things, but it was about going outside and being in that fresh air and playing, and subhanAllah,
yes.
we will never understand the benefit that that had for us. As
that is so true, and you know, another, you know, point that we can bring up there is, aside from being with your friends and being healthy and running and jumping and climbing, and we didn't mind getting dirty, we didn't mind playing in light rain, we didn't mind playing with mud cakes, because it was all part of growing up, all part of the fun. Even if you had to fall down and get a cut or a scrape, you know, because you climbed a tree, you were so proud of that scar because, you know what, it made you feel strong. It made you feel special. You were the hero. You climbed up the tree to get that apple, or you climbed up, on various forms of play. There's so many various forms of play and enjoyment that children today seem to forget. And I think the highlight would also be that they were real friends, not virtual friends, real friends. That's what we were blessed with.
As well. Yes, I think our kids nowadays may tell us things like that, you know what, mommy, you only had a group in your neighborhood that were your friends, but you know me, I have like 100 friends on Facebook and I have 100 friends on Instagram and Snapchat and whatever it may be. But the thing is, how many of those are real friends? How many of those do you really interact with on a daily basis? Do you get to have a one-on-one conversation with, besides just liking each other's photos or just posting stuff and tagging each other in pictures? No.
That is so true. That is so true. I just want to remind our listeners that we are going to open our lines now on 011-854-1548. If you would like to share some information with us, if you want to tell us more about Sunnah foods that you enjoy and that you have been telling your children about and allowing them to consume it and telling them the benefits, sports that you enjoy and play with your children, and you know, anything that you feel it would contribute to this discussion, please do call us on 011-854-1548. And I'm sure many of our young listeners will be so surprised that a lot of the sports that they are already engaged in are sports that our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to enjoy.
Yes, definitely. So among the sports that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged and enjoyed, among them, the first one that I have on my list is archery. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged archery, and it's reported in the hadith to have said, practice shooting arrows and horse riding. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned many virtues regarding archery and declared learning it as a means of attaining reward from Allah. Archery creates a liveliness and alertness in the body, strengthens the muscles and enhances the eyesight. Why? Because you're practicing with the targets, right?
Yes.
So obviously all these things are going to come. The Prophet ﷺ once was passing by a group of his companions, they were young companions, and they happened to have been using a live bird as a target, and the Prophet prohibited this. So from this we learn that the Prophet ﷺ not only encouraged doing sports, but he also taught them the way to go about doing it, right?
Very interesting, you know, examples that Abba Zakir is sharing with us, that obviously our beloved Nabi Muhammad ﷺ was very fond of sports. I mean, if you would think during the battles that Nabi Muhammad ﷺ and his companions were involved in, obviously you would have to be very, very strong. You would need to have a lot of stamina to be able to go into the battlefield and, you know, protect the fellow Muslims. So I would assume, obviously, you know, running would be very important. Obviously, horse riding, being able to manage the horse while being engaged in the battlefield. I think, do we have Abba Zakira back with us? Or she's going to be joining us shortly. So those will obviously be, physical activities that our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was engaged in. Also, like we said, eating healthy, having a healthy body and mind gives you that ability to be alert, gives you the vigor, the energy to perform better in your duties. I think we have Abba Zakira back. Abba Zakira?
I do apologize about that. I was telling the story of little Salama, and then it seems he ran away with the story. Anyway, let's get back, inshallah. What I was saying,
Ameen.
So this little boy on foot, remember they were mounted on horseback.
Yes.
And this little boy on foot decided, you know what, he wasn't going to wait until backup came and all of that. He was going to chase them. So he was really, really proficient in two things. One was that he was a great archer, and the other was that, believe it or not, he could outrun a horse. So this little boy began running after them. This little Sahabi, radiallahu anh, began running after them, and whilst running, he was shooting arrows. To the extent that when this whole ordeal was over, and these people then were asked about why they ran away in such a hurry, it is mentioned that they said they think that there was a whole army that was chasing after them, when in actual fact it was only one little Sahabi. But because of his proficiency in being an archer and because of how fast he was on foot, he made it seem as though there was a small little army that was chasing after.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. You know,
that difficult enough for our younger ones to want to sit up and want to do something other than just sitting on the couch and asking for the bag of crisps and sitting and munching on it while they sat and went through their Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat posts.
Mm-hmm.
My plea is that get out there and do something. Find something that you like to do. Other things that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged are horse riding. Horse riding for anyone that spends on his horse, rearing it, feeding it, whatever he even spends on the animal will all be placed in his scales of hasanat on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ also encouraged wrestling. Now when you speak about wrestling, we're not speaking about aggressive forms, but we're speaking about a form of wrestling that will allow us to build the body and build us in stamina. Two young Sahabi radiallahu anh wanted to kill a certain enemy, an arch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fine, in order for me, so each one of them was trying to get into the battle ranks, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you need to be a certain height, you need to be a certain age, you need to be like this and like that. So they were actually standing on tiptoe trying to, compete with one another in height. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeing this, he smiled and he said, okay, fine, you know what? Wrestle one another and let's see who wins the wrestling, and based on that we will take you. So even from this we can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged them to be competitive about the type of sport that they did. We don't do spectator sport. We don't just sit on the couch and we're watching people play sports and giving our commentary from the couch thinking that they can hear us. We don't just try and become idols of theirs and start following everything that they do. You know, we don't allow idolizing of them, I should say.
Yes,
so, you know, if they cut their hair in a certain way or if they dress in a certain way and we're so proud. No, I'm a great sportsman. What type of sportsman is that? When you're not doing any of the physical activity on your own. Being a sportsman means you need to be active about it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here not only encouraged them to do it, but also encouraged them to be competitive about doing it, right?
Yes.
And finally, the person who won this came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh, Prophet of Allah, I'm more deserving. Please, give me some favor in this. And the other one said, well, Samura radiallahu anh and Rafi, these were their names, right? This is another thing I think, Appa, about our youngsters today. They don't know much about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu because we don't read enough about them.
Yes,
so we don't have, for our youngsters especially, they don't have enough
information about positive role models. Yes, correct.
Yes, they don't have the role models. So read about these young Sahaba radiallahu anhu and you will see. So Rafi said, no, Samura only beat me because I let him beat me of Allah. Right? And like this, this is how they both ended up in the battle ranks, and they were the ones who actually put an end to one of the Prophet's most arch enemies. Other things that were really encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hunting. Hunting as in, again I say, not live, we don't use things as live targets, etc. But yes, this is also permissible. In fact, the Quran has an entire ruku that speaks about the laws of hunting, when it can be eaten, how it can be used, etc. Then also there is swimming. Swimming, I think, for both genders, as much as sometimes we may think of swimming as only a female thing, you know, the ladies like doing the aqua aerobics and all of that.
Yes.
Actually not. It's for both, right? Even the men. But here, no matter what sport we do, I think there's one thing that's very, very integral and important that we need to remember is that no matter which sport we choose to do, we need to do it within the confines of the Sharia.
We need
to do it in a way where no satr is being exposed when we are dressing in whatever attire we need to wear for a certain sport. We need to do it in the presence of our mahram for the young girls. We need to ensure that these are things that are kept in mind. Because it is no sense we're trying to practice on a sunnah and we're trying to gain reward, but we're doing it in all the wrong ways, so much so that we are actually incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I was actually just going to comment, you know, when Appa was giving all the examples of obviously of how the young Sahaba would be engaged in various activities and how Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would encourage them and watch them, that also shows the interaction of adults with children. I mean, this again, for our parents that are listening, so this is a sunnah. Follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad. Engage with the youth. Spend time with the youth. Encourage them. Motivate them. Teach them. Teach them to gain different skills. So putting that time in, you know, which is, this is time that you will never ever get back. This is very, very important. Again, when Appa speaks about when children are engaged in sport, and obviously they need to carry it out in a manner that will please Allah. So obviously Sharia attire, making sure that, you know, there is a mahram present. How often you get parents that maybe their children go for swimming or they go for horse riding or whatever sport they engaged in. Mashallah, they engage in a sport that is a sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you're just going, you're dropping your child off and you're gone. There's no supervision. So again now, you're losing that barakat, you're losing that goodness.
Very, very true. I think there's also underlying point there, Sister Bibi Aisha, where children are very excited about doing whatever form of sport it is, and we don't necessarily have any inclination to it, so what do we tend to do? We tend to do exactly that. Just go drop them off. Okay, I did my duty. Yes. Now, this is a totally different conversation altogether. But again, I'm saying that as parents, if you want them to be excited about something, why not participate with them?
Yes.
In fact, it can only be goodness for us ourselves as well. I mean, as a parent, how much time do you actually make to do some form of physical activity? And our children look up to us as role models. Every child, no matter whether they say it or not. A child's role model is always their parents. So if they see mommy or daddy just slouching around on the couch all the time, whenever they have free time, automatically to them what they feel is that, oh well, you know what? I don't need to be fit. What's the point of me being physically fit? My mom and dad don't bother about being fit.
Definitely. Like I say, children learn more from what we do than what we say. Abba, Jazakumullah Khair, and it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on air with me, and I know my listeners and I have benefited from the information that you've shared with us. First of many, definitely, inshallah. May Allah reward you in abundance for the sterling work that you are doing in educating, empowering and uplifting our communities, and may Allah, inshallah, accept all of your beneficial du'as, Ya Allah, inshallah.
Ameen. I think the same can be said for you, Sister Bibi Aisha, mashallah, with the good work that you're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast and
mostly
may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity so that it is accepted in His court, inshallah.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. My beloved listeners, I just need to share a point with you. You know, often when children want to play and they come towards you and they're like, Daddy, let's go play with the ball, or Mommy, let's go do this. And because our lifestyles have become so hectic, you're like, no, my darling, I don't have time. No, my baby, I can't. I don't have time. I'm busy working. And as your children get older and they keep hearing, I'm busy, I've got no time, I'm busy working, they're eventually going to go out there, make their friends, have people that want to be with them and forget about you. And then when you are getting older and you are in need of your children, the worst possible answer that you can receive is when your child says, sorry mommy or sorry daddy, I'm busy working. Please don't be that parent that that's the answer that you're going to get. Be hands on, be with your child, be engaged in your child's life. Teach your child first and foremost how to be humane, how to be compassionate, how to love the sunnah way, inshallah. Next week, a very, very pertinent topic, something that we need to address as a community, as a society, and something that we definitely need to put a stop to. We're going to be discussing bullying. Say no to bullying, teaching children from a very young age how to be assertive, how to take their power back. And my guest for next week is Brother Abdul Manak, someone that everyone is very familiar with. And we look forward to getting lots of pointers from him. And we will be back on Youth Talk, inshallah, next week, Saturday. From myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my engineer, we wish you a good, blessed week ahead. And please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.